This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. New book tonight, Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. We have just completed the entire book of Psalms, every chapter, verse, and line. Took us a year and a half, and that's a short time. What a magnificent trip we had. Now, you are such a privileged people to be able to hear this revelation. This could very well be the last opportunity before the Antichrist comes for any of you to actually hear the book of Revelation, every verse and every word of it. Now, for those of you who have been told that you do not need to know the book of Revelation, the very word in the Greek is apocalypse. Will you say that?
Apocalypse.
And it means to uncover, to reveal, to make known, to take the lid off. Now, the book of Revelation is a prophecy of these end times. You're going to hear things that are happening right now. As a matter of fact, the fact that I am teaching you is in the book of Revelation because it's the fifth trumpet. We'll talk about that, a time of learning, just before the Antichrist comes. You're going to learn who the Antichrist is. You're going to learn what 666 means. You're going to learn of Mystery Babylon. You're going to learn of seven signs before the end, and we're in the fifth one now. And so you're going to learn so many things. Now, you also want to know this. It is a command by Jesus Christ, who is going to write, he's written this book to John, that every Christian on planet Earth at these end times know every word of Revelation. And somebody told you weren't supposed to know it. Okay, this was written in 96 AD. Jesus himself appears to the disciple John. Remember John, who leaned on Jesus' breast, who wrote the Gospel of John and the epistles? And now Jesus is appearing to him. Here we go.
The revelation to John, the Apocalypse, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Now, the word shortly is not correctly written in English. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen right then, because as you know, it's been about 2,000 years since he dictated this book. It means those things which, John, I'm about to show you. I'm about to show you in a few minutes all the things that are going to happen at the end.
And his sentence signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
All right. When it says his angel in the Bible, this means the very presence of God himself. You might remember in studying the book of Joshua that the angel of the Lord came upon up to him, and that was Jesus, also Abraham. So this is the very presence of Jesus himself to John.
Verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So he says, okay, I will record this, dear Jesus, just as you tell me.
And of all things that he saw. 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein.
All right, you just got a triple whammy blessing. Now, you are, all of you, opening your Bibles. Anytime you come to me, you must open your Bible. That is what church is about. If you go to a church and you're not following along in the Bible, that's, we're going to find out in this book that there are only two type churches that please God, and certainly we're going to be reading the Bible. So you're hearing it when I teach it. You're seeing it in your eyes. So all of you have already been blessed two times already in these few minutes. Those of you on air, cyberspace, internet, radio, and those of you live, you've already been blessed twice. Now, if you keep it, if you understand it and watch it and then do it and share it with somebody else, you get a triple blessing.
For the time is at hand.
Here's why you're blessed. We're going to find it's a command for every Christian around planet Earth to know this book of Revelation. And if you do, you'll be blessed. And here's why. Because the time of the end is near. Now, that does not mean end of eternity. For if you're saved and don't fall off at the soon coming Antichrist, you'll have eternal life. But it means the end of this earth age as we know it. And we're going to find out that the very fact that I'm teaching you is a sign of what is called the fifth trumpet. At the sixth trumpet, the Antichrist will appear. His time has been shortened. And the seventh trump, then Jesus will appear.
For John to the seven churches which are in Asia.
All right. At that time, there had been seven Christian churches in Asia, and they were in a circle. Now, this is a prophecy from Jesus to write in a book of things happening at the end time. So those churches are not there anymore. Jesus is speaking in symbology. Remember, Jesus always spoke in parables. Why, he calls you wheat. You're pretty, but you're not wheat. Okay? In the Garden of Eden, Jesus was the tree of life. You see its symbology? The tree of knowledge of good and evil was the devil, low down like a snake. You see, he speaks in symbology. So what this is, seven churches in Asia. Seven would be the number of spiritual perfection. And no church could be perfect except that Jesus were the Lord. So the churches were in a circle. Here's the symbology right down here at the end. It means all of the Christian churches, whether they were real or not, that got a Christian shingle on them, on round planet Earth. It's not the number seven. Does everybody understand? He said, write this. He's going to tell him to send it to every Christian church around planet Earth. That would be all, every Christian church in America, every denomination that says I be Christian, all over this planet. Do you understand? Okay, so that means you. Remember, you are the church.
Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come.
Paul always started with grace and peace. What a great greeting. It's like a blessing there. It's why I like to start out with a blessing. God bless you. It's great when you greet people to just bless them immediately. All right, which is. Now, when Moses was at the burning bush and God talked to him there, Moses said, well, what will I tell Pharaoh your name is, God? And God, speaking Hebrew, said, Aya, Asha, Aya, I am that I am. Well, that's present tense, isn't it? Now, have you noticed that Isis is I is, I is? Always a copycat. That was just in parentheses. You don't have to pay attention to that. So God is very present. Okay, now he said was. Ah, was. 2 Peter 3:6 says there was an age before this one. World means age there. There was one before this, the first earth age. Actually, that's when Satan rebelled. The book of Revelation in chapter 12 is going to take us back to that. I'm going to get to teach you all of that from God's word. Hallelujah. Now, he was. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he is, he was. Okay, and he's going to be, he's coming again. After the Antichrist comes and does his thing, which has been shortened, he'll be the devil with his Jesus costume on, then the real Jesus comes. Everybody understand?
Yes. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Oh, you're going to love this. Now, the seven spirits before the throne are greeting you too, my dear Christians. What in the world are they? Romans 11, Paul says, at these end times, there are 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Baal, Baal being Antichrist. It's a remnant. It's not all It's small. It's not all of the body of Christ. It's a small number of the body of Christ. Because Revelation 13 says half the body of Christ is going to worship the devil, thinking he's Jesus, because you've never heard Revelation. So there we have it. We have that he is the remnant there. 7,000 will not bow the knee. Okay, now you hear the number seven, the seven spirits before the throne. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, don't you mess with one of my little ones, meaning elect, the 7,000 elect with open eyes, and very few. It's a small remnant of the Christian church. It's not the mainstream. It's not what you're going to see out there with all that big hullabaloo. And he says, don't touch one of them, because he said, in heaven, their angels do always have the face of my Father, which is in heaven. So the 7,000 elect, it's a spiritual number. You don't have to take it literally, but it's a small, with open eyes, the Christians right now alive. I pray it be you. Some of you, come on in. And we have, sitting before the throne of God, God's on the throne, these seven spirits, seven of them, one for each 1,000 of the 7,000 elect. And when we get in trouble, they run. It's not the same thing as the guardian angel. That's a different ball game, because that's for every Christian. This would be for the elect only. And this speaker can say, so many times in my life, I have had that happen to me. I know that my angel got God's attention. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I would have clapped my hands on that one. Yes, thank you.
Five, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead.
All right. Now you say, now wait a minute. We know that Jesus died and arose from the dead, but he wasn't the first person who arose from the dead. Why, Jesus himself raised Lazarus from the dead. And remember the widow woman and her son was in the coffin. He raised him from the dead. Well, this is different. The only begotten of the dead. This is the only time that the only begotten Son of God died and arose from the dead. This is the only time in Jesus Christ that God himself died. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. It's just one time that God came down here, put himself in a body, and died. Now he's sending you the message. He is. He was. He is to be the seven spirits which are there to protect 7,000 elect here at the end of time. And now Jesus is sending you this message.
And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This same John to whom he is dictating this would say in one of the epistles, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Six, who hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father.
When Jesus said, it is finished, he went in his spirit and he tore that veil that separated God from the people from top to bottom. And since Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is our Father, you now, as a king's kid, in the name of Jesus, may come in. You may also be a priest to carry the word of truth to other people, if he so calls you. You may be a priest to intercede for other people. What an honor.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Seven, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him.
Now Jesus says, now John, put in your book here that when I come the second time, I'm not doing a sneak in and a snatch out. When I come, everybody's going to see me. Every single eye shall see Jesus at his second return. So those of you who've been thinking you're going to be having a sneak snatch away, Ezekiel 13, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. Every eye shall see him.
And they also which pierced him.
Now, since the Antichrist pretending to be Jesus is about to come, we're in the fifth trumpet now, that's why I'm teaching a time of learning, that the Antichrist comes, his time is shortened. And since he's going to pretend to be Jesus and deceive so many of the Christians, half the body of Christ, have no oil, no truth, no word in them, will be deceived. When Jesus comes and finds the children of who call themselves Christians, who go to church every Sunday, say, I be Christian, love the Lord, have already been in bed with Antichrist, married that bridegroom, it will pierce Jesus' heart. Wait for the true bridegroom.
And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen.
You know why? Because in Revelation 13, we're going to get there. It says that the whole world is going to worship the Antichrist and call him God and half the body of Christ. It's only that little 7,000. It's not a literal number, but it's a ratio of elect that will not worship him. The whole world is going after him. So when the real Jesus then comes, the elect, we're going to wail because we're so glad our daddy's come back for us. Thank you, Lord. But the rest of the world's going to wail because, oh my God, that's not God. And the Christians who will be deceived because you did not know every word of God, you just got one verse and 3 points of the quarrel in a book about the book and a tradition of man, and you believe lie proverbs, you're going to cry for the rocks and wail, oh my God, I thought it was Jesus and I married the devil.
8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending.
Now, Alpha and Omega is the Greek alphabet, and it would be like our A to Z in English. Well, Alpha is beginning, and we know that Proverbs 8 says that wisdom was with God in the beginning. And we know we've already quoted, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God was in the beginning. Now, so you say, well, I guess Omega means the ending. No, in the Greek it means 800. Which means new beginnings. Here's what it means. God was in the beginning, and now if you're with him, it's not an ending, it's a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. Adventure, 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 forever and ever, ever. I have not seen, he has not heard, neither has it in the heart of man the things God's got prepared for those of us who love him. Never ending. One adventure after another. Revelation 22 says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. Never bored. New beginning. Don't you love adventures? I'm an adventurer. Yes, that's what we're going to have. So his name is not the beginning and the end. It's the beginning and a new beginning.
Saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come,
twice,
the Almighty.
Hallelujah.
9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, within the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay, Jesus says, write it in a book, and he said, send it to every Christian church on round planet Earth. We've already learned that. So he's writing, okay, hello Christians, I'm John, I'm writing this. And John is saying, are you suffering for righteousness' sake? You elect, have you been persecuted? I'm persecuted too, says John. They had just tried to boil John in oil, and he would not die. I tell you something, elect, no matter what the devil does for you, he can blind your eyes or cripple your legs or do anything in this world to you. But if you will not give up, you will finish your purpose. Most of you fall off like hothouse lilies. So I say stay in the Word and be rooted and grounded in the Word and get on if you have to crawl into the goalpost. So they took him out of the oil with his skin falling off and threw him on this Isle of Patmos. So there he is, and Jesus has appeared. See, it's so deserted. He's so alone. Nobody would have any hope for John. And that's the best time for you to get to know God. It's in my most horrible, lonely, most deserted hours that I have known the depths of God's love more than ever.
Jen, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Whoa! Now, Jesus takes him from 96 A.D., where he's in his charcoaled body out there on the rock ready to die, and he takes him in his spirit body, what is the Lord's Day. 2 Peter 3:8, be not ignorant, brethren, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. He takes him to the first day of the millennium at the seventh trump. Revelation will explain all of this when Jesus returns. Now, some of you say, woo, no, this speaker has that all the time. You don't do that, you're not normal. And remember that Paul was taken up to the third heaven. And so he takes him to the future, which is not far from us. We're in the fifth trump, the Antichrist come, that time is shortened, and then he takes him there. Now he's going to take John back in the first earth age when Satan rebelled. All of you need to know that. If you don't know about the three earth and heaven ages, you'll never get the whole plan. And then he's going to take us right where we are, and what's going on right here, the signs and everything. He's going to take him into the Lord's Day. So here he is from 96 A.D. to 20,000 plus, okay?
And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Trumpet of truth.
11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia.
Now, for those of you who came in late, we explained that that is symbology. There were seven churches in a circle, but the symbology is that the earth is a circle, and the seven mean the number of spiritual perfection. So he means, I want every Christian church around planet earth at the end times, I want you to have a book of Revelation, which I'm about to write, in your hand. So see, all of you at least are obeying right now. Okay, got it? So that's what he says. Send it to them. So see, now that dispels the lie that you weren't supposed to know Revelation.
Unto Ephesus.
Now he's going to name seven churches. As we move along week by week, we're going to cover each church. The name is not important, it's the content. We're going to find that there are only two type churches here on round planet Earth of all the zillions of Christian churches that please Jesus. Now, I'll put this in parentheses. You think I'm a fool? I read the book. I do it right. And when you find out what it is that the true church teaches, many of you will say, wow, we heard that on Trumpet of Truth.
To Smyrna and unto Pergamos. And unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea.
And again, we're going to break each one of them down. And many of you will recognize a church that you know about on the media. Maybe some of you go to these churches. We're not judging the church. We love the church. But we're about to find that Jesus is checking the church out to see who it is who teaches what he says we're supposed to teach. And sadly, there are only two of these that do. It doesn't mean a literal two, it's two types.
12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man.
Now that would be Jesus. Now you want to know what Jesus looks like in his transfigured body? Here it comes.
Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pass with a golden girdle.
The girdle means a belt. Men, a belt holds your pants up. Ladies, hold your skirts up or your pants up, okay? Now, we know in Ephesians 6, it tells you, Christian, to be girt with truth. What is truth? We began this program, Thy Word is Truth, John 17:17. So there is the Word, and there is the truth. Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is the truth. Now, Christian, the reason you fall down so much and don't keep walking is because you're not girt with the word. See, a man's sermon might not be the word. It must be book, chapter, verse, and line. Did you know that's the command? And look at he's telling John, I want everybody, he's going to tell in a few minutes the pastor to read every word of Revelation to everybody in the Christian church. You live by the word of God, not sermons and quarterlies. And I know the points are good. You'd have to live 700 years to go all the way through the Bible with a few verses every Sunday and a man's sermon. Why not make God's Bible the sermon? Novel idea.
14, his head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow.
Pure.
And his eyes were as a flame of fire.
Sparkling with joy, sparkling with kindness, sparkling with love.
15, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace.
God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. Now you know fire gets all the green off. There's going to be a trial by fire for each one of you if you plan to serve God. Most of us have already been that. The fire gets the green off. You're no good until the green is gone. All of the mess is gone. Then you're a silver vessel. You're no good until you're broken and you can't do it yourself. And the fire just... But you know what I found? You can breathe in the fire. I stay in the fire, but I breathe really good.
And his voice is the sound of many waters.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, his voice sounds many waters. What is that? Revelation 17, I'm practically teaching the whole book to answer this first one, says the waters are the people. See, it's symbology. I told you a lot of this is symbology. All right, Jesus is the head, and we, church, you are the body. What is it you do? All of you, we get together individually and corporately, and we pray, and our voices come up to him. His voice is a sound of many waters. His voice as the people. Later on, John's going to show us a picture of the throne of God and the voices. The waters are coming out of the throne, meaning the voices, the prayers of saints. Hallelujah. Must be noisy in heaven.
16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
Hebrews tells us the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting both ways. This sword is symbolic of the tongue of Jesus, the word of God. There is nothing more than you need than the word of God. You run hither, thither, and yon, trying to find a thrill and somebody to do this and somebody to do that. Go where you can get every word of God. Over a period of time, the word will heal you. Over a period of time, the word will change you. Not men's word. You need to sit on the line, book, chapter, verse, and line. The tongue of Jesus Christ, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and marrow and bones and joints. Hallelujah. It'll heal you too.
And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength.
We just finished the majestic book of Psalms, chapter, verse, and line. And it says that God clothes himself with light. Every time you look up and you see the sun starting to come in the window here, and even the moon, when you see the light, you are seeing a part of God's garment. Remember that this same John would write in the Gospel of John, and that light came in the world, but people love darkness rather than light. So he is as bright as the shining sun. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus actually went blind looking at that light.
17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
There's something that happens. Now the Holy Spirit of God is in this room, and it's awesome. But there is an even greater moment when the very presence of Jesus Christ will walk in. The speaker has experienced it. And when he walks in, you know it, and you fall to the floor. It doesn't hurt a bit. It's a natural response in his presence. You cannot stand. You just want to bow. You just want to kiss his feet because you love him.
And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Jesus is so cute. He got excited about that. Hey, John, look, I'm alive. I was dead. Phew, thank goodness that's over. I don't have to be crucified anymore. They can't pull my beard out anymore. They can't pierce that, beat my back. They can't blindfold me or spit on me anymore. I don't have to pay your sin debt anymore. I don't have to take 39 stripes anymore. Hallelujah. Amen, I'm alive. Enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Let's have a little passion here.
Have the keys of hell and of death.
And because I did that, I'm the one that holds the key. I can say whether you have eternal life or not. There is no other name given under heaven and earth whereby a man might be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life.
Hallelujah.
19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
Okay. See, write down what you're seeing right now. He just did. The things which you're going to see, the things which were. Revelation 12 is going to take us back in the first earth age when Satan rebelled and deceived one third of God's children minus the flesh. You were there. The Bible's going to tell you. Write it in a book, John. You're reading the book.
20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks.
Now Jesus is very wise. He's given us a parable. Now he's going to explain the parable. He always takes his elect aside and explains the parable. Remember that in the Gospels? Now he's going to explain it to you. You're on the inside now.
The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches.
Angels in the Greek means messengers. All right, John, I want you to write this revelation, everything, the whole thing, on through chapter 22 in a book. And I want you to send it to every Christian church around planet Earth and make sure they get it for the end time. And I want you to put it in the hand of every pastor, church leader, whatever they call themselves, pastor, Bible teacher, missionary, priest, put this book of Revelation in the pastor's hand. Now, I want to ask you a question. If the pastor's got a book that Jesus told him to put in his hand and is standing before the sheep, what should he do with it? Teach it to them. Pastor means feed the sheep. Duh.
And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
So you see, there we have it. The seven stars, the messengers of the seven churches. And that would be the pastors of each of these churches. Now next week we're going to get into each one of these churches and break them down. And you need not to miss anything. Quit your job if you have to. This is your last chance before Antichrist comes. I know that. I'm a prophet, so I can tell you that. You need to get this. This book will keep you from being deceived. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Let's have a hand. It's a cliffhanger. I hate to stop there. I'd love to teach the whole book at one time. However, it is time now for a mystery moment. Paul tells us to learn the mystery of God. Now, Revelation will tell us that Jesus comes. There are seven trumps, which events. Jesus comes at the last trumpet. He does not come before and sneak out. No, no, just one time everybody will see him. Very soon, the Antichrist, who is the devil with his Jesus costume on, instead of Christ, will come, call himself God. His time's been shortened, thank God. We're now in the fifth trump, the fifth seal, which is a time of learning. And that's why God has got me sitting before you and standing before you and speaking before you. So you'd learn this so you won't be deceived. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, where is it in the Bible that at the end time our leaders will have minds like children Okay, I'm sorry, but that was funny. It's in Isaiah chapter 3, round about verse 4. It says, your rulers and your leaders, your politicians, and some even in the pulpit will have minds like babes. Well, how is a babe? Narcissistic, selfie, me, 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 me. Is there an adult in Washington? Oh, my. Dear Sherry, would you please explain the lost 10 tribes, and then where are the other two tribes? Well, at least the person asking this question knows there are 12 tribes of Israel. See, most preachers lump them all into one and call them all Judah. I don't even say it right, Judah. There's one brother named Judah, but he's Hebrew like the rest of us. There are 12 tribes of Israel. They had a split, and two of them changed their name and called themselves the House of Judah. The other 10 call themselves the House of Israel. They are not together, and in the Bible they were separated. When Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the wall, Judah and Benjamin, those two brothers, joined together, called themselves the House of Judah, and went back to Jerusalem. And in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, that same, they had gotten scattered, they came back, our brother Judah and Benjamin, the House of Judah is on the land of Israel, but there are only two houses. So where are the lost 10 tribes? You're only lost because somebody lost the Bible. The Assyrian Sennacherib, we taught him in Psalms, they captured these 10 tribes. History says they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in the British Isles, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, and these United States of America, lost tribes of Israel, House of Israel, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. No wonder we've been blessed. So we are still here. We are separated. Do you see now why God has so blessed America? Our purpose was to take Jesus and the Bible to the whole wide world. Which brings me to the next question. Dear Sherry, what was your reaction when you saw those gay strobes of light flooding the White House recently? Well, first of all, I cried. And see, I see things in the spirit. I love pretty colors, but that wasn't a rainbow. Were bars of iron. They went this way and this way and this way and this way. And the White House of the United States of America was captured in iron. It's kind of like I have a bicycle chain outside. It's so pretty on the outside, it's purple, but it's a big hard chain. Nobody can get it unlocked beneath, which means the United States of America is in chains of iron, like ISIS puts a Christian in those cages and drowns them. Now, a rainbow in itself, spiritually, is a beautiful thing and it gives hope. And that's why on Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., we meet over here and pray 2 Chronicles 7:14. By the way, all of you listen on the radio, God's given me a strategy. I'm getting up and fighting. I'm doing something about it. I want you to join me. So we do have hope if God's people themselves will repent. Otherwise, sodomy is always destroyed. Well, let's see what we have more. Have a little bit more time here. There's no greater miracle than for someone to be saved. If there's anyone listening and you're not sure you're saved, may the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. May the Father draw you to call on his name. I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it. And I'd like to ask all of you to help me out here. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
Please forgive me of them all.
Please forgive me of them all.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Lord, wash my sins away with your blood.
Lord, wash my sins away with your blood.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
to enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. You might like to call me and tell me you were saved. You may call for prayer requests. And right now, I want to pray a miracle prayer for healing. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, for anyone under the sound of my voice, wherever there is pain, in the mighty name of Jesus, Jesus bore the pain. Pain stopped. In Jesus' mighty name, we call forth the healing virtue of Jesus, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. Let bladders and kidneys and colons be healed. Let stomachs be healed, hearts and lungs and breasts and chest and backs and spines. Let fibromyalgia be gone forever. Let cancer be gone forever. Arthritis be gone. Make bones strong. Make something new where something is missing. In the name of Jesus, with Jesus' stripes you are healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let people get off of their deathbed and live and not die and declare the works of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We ask for miracles, signs, and wonders in the name of your holy child, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite all of you each Sunday here at 5 p.m. to come for Word and Prayer, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer, Prayer for America. We also pray for you, anything in the world. Feel free to call me on the phone for prayer, and I love all of you. And I want you to stay in God's Word, and remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And as Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I love you so much. God bless you. And God willing, I'll see you next time. And we'll move on along in Revelation. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Pain from standing out in the desert praying for rain.
I've seen my lonely teardrops fall down my lonely face. Oh, how I long to hear the thunder roll again.
And I want to be
swept away in thee.
Only you know what I need. So open up the sky.
Appointments, I cried a time or two. These showers of love I long for, they only come from you.
Now I wanna go deeper, falling over my head. So send your holy downpour and let the healing begin.
And I can't wait
to be swept away.
get enough. I just wanna be caught in that flood. So open up the sky. So open up the sky. Rain down your love. I don't care if I never get enough. I just wanna be caught in that flood. So open up the sky. Yeah, open up the sky. Yeah, open up the sky.
Putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. A mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. With devils filled, should threaten to undo us. We will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
I stand amazed.
your desire.